Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. It is Monday now and we are 17 days into February and spring is only around the corner. We have much of interest for you to start the week. So whether you want to give out, give up or give two hoots, you can do so in the usual way on the WhatsApp. It's 087-032-3232. And if you have an essay, you can always email oliver@rte.ie. That's the way to do it. Now we have DJ Annie Mac is in the building. That's Annie McManus to the locals, because she is a local. Annie McManus from South Dublin, who was did her colleging in Belfast and then became a BBC legend in London. So she's here to chat to us because she's doing the early ravers thing. That sounds like children who go raving. No, it's early evening raves is what she's here to tell us about. And she's involved in Other Voices and she's a Sunday Times best-selling novelist. She's had loads of things going on and major life changes, including a late entry into sport, which is by no means, better late than never sort of thing. Isn't it? Does that make sense? Or do I sound like I've got Monday head on? Yes, I do. So looking forward to chatting to DJ Annie Mac, who's also a doctor, because we chatted to her on the phone a couple of months ago. She got a doctorate there from Queen's in Belfast. But we said, if you're around Dublin, come on in and have a longer chat. So that's what we're going to do today with you. A whole weekend is all about awards and things. The IFTAs were on. We had Breen F. O'Byrne. Remember here on Friday, he was going into the IFTAs. Nominated for his role as the Monsignor in Conclave, and he won it. So he has that rather pretty Celtic woman statue to add to his BAFTA and his Tony Awards back home in West Sligo. So he's now a BIFTA. Is there an EGOT for those ones? A BIFTA, one of the few to have won both the BAFTAs, a BAFTA and an IFTA. And by the way, the IFTAs as an awards show really thriving in recent years, especially because it looked at one point like it was in trouble. There was a period when it was no longer televised. They kind of had invented categories to get one big star to attend every year. It hopped about on the calendar. They separated telly from the film and all that. But now, since the Irish talent is doing so well in the film and television industry around the world and so many productions are being made here, the IFTAs has finally become an award that serious people have wanted to win now for the last couple of years, and an event that the big stars want to attend, and they did in great numbers, and you would have seen the coverage over the weekend. Kevin McGarren, by the way, did a very sharp turn as the awards host, and some good barbs in there. Some of them too spicy for morning radio, as we said. That's a good sign. And finally, they got a comedian to do it. It's the way to go, like the rest of the ones do it. Kneecap Run won a rake of awards there, but they didn't do as well as expected at the BAFTAs, which were in London last night, because they were up for 6 awards. They did get an award for the director who got his Irish citizenship. He's an English fella who moved to Belfast and saw this Kneecap cultural phenomenon needs to be a movie, and it is. And it was interesting because it kind of brings an end to their over a year long trip now in the film industry, because they started out in Sundance in January last year and absolutely massive hit film. And they announced they're not going to do another film. They're going to concentrate on the music. But they have won BAFTA for that film. But it was a bit, even The Guardian this morning is saying it was a bit of a snub to lose out on the best film not in the English language, which went to Emilia Perez, the much derided musical drama on Netflix, which has gone through as an award season from hell. Much admired Kneecap was left out, they said, of the whole thing. But there you go. And speaking of the BAFTAs, there were a number of surprises there, because Conclave, which we're now obsessed with in this programme, although it is the one kind of popular film, most watched movie that's in the award season. The rest of them are quite indie and most people won't ever bother watching them, let's face it. Conclave won quite a few awards, won 4 awards, including the best film. But somehow they didn't give the Best Actor award to Ralph Fiennes. And they're saying that is a huge snub, particularly because it's in his own backyard. You'd imagine he'd be honoured in London. And he hasn't won a BAFTA now since Best Supporting Actor in Schindler's List, which is 30 years ago, and 6 nominations in a row he's gone through without a win. Probably because he doesn't campaign. You have to campaign for these things. He's not into the celebrity thing, Ralph Fiennes. And there was also a big snub for the Bob Dylan film. Another popular film, actually, people would have seen. A Complete Unknown went home completely empty-handed, was what happened to them. And the other surprise is Demi Moore was expected to win Best Actress, but she lost to Mikey Madison, who's in Anora, which I saw actually in the streamer, is the biggest film at the moment, streamer. So people are watching that. It's kind of a a mad romantic drama, which is like first half of the film is all sweetness and light. And the second half of the film is a really funny episode of the Sopranos. It's really good. Had a puzzling ending, but it was really good. It's quite grim. She is amazing, fantastic in it. The substance is just completely, you know, not many people are going to watch that. You want to really be into your horror to watch that. There are the surprises there. And so the Irish interest comes to kind of stumbling to an end really now, doesn't it, in the awards season? Apart from, as we said the other week, Conan O'Brien is 100% Irish in his DNA swab, so he's hosting the Oscars, comedy-wise. But Jesse Eisenberg went up three times to the podium, the BAFTAs, last night, and it's quite interesting because he is he's the writer-director and supporting actor of this film, A Real Pain, which, what is it about again? Mismatched cousins who reunite for a Jewish heritage tour through Poland in honour of their late granny, but old tensions resurface against the backdrop. And this is the one that Kieran Culkin is set to win. He's almost certain now to win the Oscar because he's won five acting awards in a row and he hasn't been there to accept any of them. And Jesse Eisenberg has gone up. He's best known, I think, for A Social Network, wasn't he? He plays the Zuckerberg character in that way back in 2010. And So Kieran Culkin is absent from the award season at the moment. Why is that? Because he is looking after a family member in New York who's quite sick. And Jesse Eisenberg said he's so devoted as a dad, he tried to opt out of this film 2 weeks before we started shooting because he didn't want to leave the kids. And it's admirable, his devotion to his family. And that's why he's missed the Golden Globes, Critics' Choice Awards, two other ceremonies, plus the BAFTAs last night. Jesse Eisenberg also won Best Original Screenplay, and he gave an emotional speech on stage, and it was mostly to do with his wife. But he was also referencing the fact that he was sitting very, very far from the stage and took a while to get up to the podium, and explaining why he was kind of not very prepared for this moment.
I didn't write anything because I didn't think I'd win, and I do want to share this with my wife, who didn't come because she didn't think I'd win. I think the person who sat me didn't think I'd win. Anyway, I want to share this with my wife because I'm not a stupid person, but I'm an idiot. And when we first started dating, she dragged me to Venezuela to backpack through Venezuela. And since then, over the last 20 something years, she's dragged me around the world reluctantly. And it's the way I got to know about the world, which is what this movie's about. And you know, she also, through strict Marxist-Leninist principles, taught me that my grief is unexceptionable compared to the rest of the world, which is the other thing this movie is about. So, Anna, you put every worthwhile thought into my head over the last 20 years, and I love you so much.
Jesse Eisenberg there reminded me, that's why Daniel Day-Lewis didn't do interviews, because you know he just plays himself, doesn't he? He plays himself in all his movies, that's for sure. Ring the Irish interest bell. He mentioned his wife, Anna Strout is her name, and they've been married since 2017. Jesse Eisenberg made a film here in Ireland called Vivarium just about 5 or 6 years ago, and it was about the housing crisis in Ireland. Lorcan Finnegan was the guy who wrote it, and Aina Hardwick was in it, if my memory serves me right. And he says his wife has a particular interest in Ireland, and she helped produce various events, including one which was about political protests in the country. It was hosted by Stephen Ray, and she went all around the country, he says in the interview, promoting Vivarium. And my wife's brother wrote the book The People Speak Ireland, so she'd seen everything, is in the studio, and he wants to come back here because she's obsessed with the place. So there you go, we'll support him. Speaking of the housing crisis, that's across the news today. Interesting stories abroad from Australia, who want to put a 2-year ban on foreigners buying existing homes amid the housing crunch there. Is there a country in the world that doesn't seem to have a housing crisis? Because one of the reasons Justin Trudeau stepped down is because of his plummeting opinion polls, because of a housing crisis in Canada, mostly to do with just the enormous rising costs of rent. Similar reasons to Ireland, we just selling properties to massive multinational firms that can then set the price of rent in your chosen city. So what are they going to do? They're going to ban foreigners from buying existing homes for the next 2 years in an effort to boost under pressure housing supply. And that's coming in. Dissatisfaction with housing in Australia has reached an all-time high, and it's an issue that's expected to dominate a general election happening in May. There's always an election when these things are being announced. It's the largest contributor to the rising cost of living in Australia is set to be the key issue. A poll had the centre-left Labour government there lagging its main Conservative political opposition. And that's what's happening in that country. That will be a similar ban to the one that's in New Zealand. They put that in place in 2018. Spain, famously in the last month, proposed laws to ban non-EU nationals from buying homes, which would hit the Brits very hard. Austria already has restrictions on non-EU citizens buying homes. You have to be a resident in Vienna before you buy anything there. The Swiss, of course, not in the EU, but they have a quota on the number of holiday homes they sell each year to anyone who's not a resident of Switzerland. I think only 1,000 holiday homes a year maximum they can sell to non-Swiss people. And, you know, that's unlikely to happen in Ireland given our multinational focus in this country. But anecdotally, at least, we're hearing a lot of evidence that American investors, very wealthy people, are snapping up the high net worth mansions. 1,200 homes priced over 1 million euro were sold in Ireland last year. And they're particularly interested, you know, there was one obviously for 30 million, a big estate outside Youghal. But Kinsale as well. There were three houses in Kinsale. One was 3 million, another was 5 million, 5.5 million. And anecdotally, at least, we're hearing the big Americans who are concerned about wildfires and climate change in America are buying those big mansions in the kind of high net worth areas. And that brings us to the Irish story. It's in the today's Indo. A fresh bid to crack down on Airbnb to lift the housing stock level. This feels like a conversation that's been going on for years. A fresh effort to crack down on Airbnbs and short-term rentals is to be one of the new government's first moves towards improving the housing stock. And this is proposed new laws targeting short-term lets. What are they doing? They're doing something which I thought was in place. Plans for clampdown were signed off by the last government in December 2022, but stalled time and time again, and they blamed them on EU rules. And under new proposed laws, landlords who use properties for short-term lets will have to register them or face being fined up to €5,000, which is exactly the same thing that they proposed back in 2018. And they also, which is not being mentioned this time, they proposed a maximum use of 90 days for short-term lets to just let you let it out for the summer, basically. Short-term letting websites will be fined up to €5,000 if they don't remove the adverts or properties that are not listed. And there were some restrictions brought in 2019, but it leads to the local councils to enforce them. And there is a lot of claim from the opposition that that wasn't happening, basically. So there you go. That'll get your blood pressure up now nicely. What's this text saying? Spring is not a date. It's a feeling. It's an emotional. It's here. Someone who's feeling slightly, well, you're in a merry mood today. We won't knock you for that, that's for sure. We'll begin with some brand new music from Keen Ducrow, Cork's finest, who recently won a Grammy. It's got an Elton John vibe to this already, isn't it? 51551, by the way, for your text. And it's Monday.